Well, I desire your prayers again this morning. The Lord would help us with some thoughts He's given us to share. And I want to start off with just asking a rhetorical question here, something for us to think about as through our little discourse. So, have you ever had things happen to you that are things in life that maybe are a surprise to you, catch you off guard, didn't expect such and such to happen? Maybe it could be your own health issues, or maybe it's some health issues of a loved one, or maybe there's changes on the job, or relationship challenges, disappointments in life. You know, there's all kinds of things that can happen that we weren't expecting. It just kind of caught us off guard, kind of surprised us. I want to say this on the onset, though, that if we're not careful, those storms of life can do some damage if we're not anchored to something that's solid and strong, okay? Where we can be tossed around and, like I said, we can encounter some damage. Some things can be hindered. Different things can happen. But I want to share a little story that took place years ago. And it was something I was heavily vested in. So soon after Sheila and I were first married, I built a little greenhouse. And built it from scratch. The place I was working at had some galvanized tubing that I was able to weld and make a framework for it, and then attach some heavy-duty plastic around it. And when it was all said and done, I was pretty proud of it, and hauled it home, and she used it for, I don't know how many years. We had it in Goodman when we first got married. Then I moved it up to where we're at now and used it, I don't know, at least a few years there. I'm not sure how long we were able to use it. But the rest of the story is not so good, because I remember when I was set the greenhouse up down in Goodman, where our little trailer house was and the greenhouse, we were nestled up next to some woods. And I had some little loops made in the metal frame and pushed some stakes down into the ground and anchored it into the ground, and never had any issues. So I moved it up to our place here in Neosho and set the greenhouse out, and I think we moved it a couple of different places. And I would do the same thing, push these little L-shaped rods down into the ground, and everything seemed fine. We were kind of nestled in a valley there and didn't think we'd have any issues. Until one morning, I get up and look out, and we'd had a storm, and there was no greenhouse. I'm like, what? And I look out in the field, and on up north of us, in one of Mike's fences, was this ball, this mass of wreckage of our greenhouse. The wind had just picked it up and sailed it through the field and just rolled it and just destroyed it. It was not repairable. I literally just cut it apart and scrapped the galvanized tubing. There was nothing else to do. So that was a rather disappointing experience. And I look back at that, I'm like, that could have been different. I could have done something rather than what I did. I just pushed some little rods down in the ground and thought that would hold it just fine, but it didn't hold. The storm made a mess of it. So I would like to see if you all could sing a song while I draw something up on the board here. And I want to sing number 6 in the blue book. It's In Times Like These. So if we could sing that song while I draw and write some stuff on the board here.
Number 6 in the blue book. Times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need a Savior. Be very sure
that's good enough for now. So, well, thank you. And thinking of the song we just got through singing, the words say, in times like these, you need a savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. And then it goes on, your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. And then it concludes that first verse again with, your anchor holds, be sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. That's why I've, the title of it is Grip the Solid Rock. So the little diagrams I drew on the board here is a rough representation of the one on the left is the one that I built and how I made it. This is how it was. So here's the frame of the greenhouse, and I had a little loops and little metal loops here. Just put a rod just down in the dirt. That's all I did, all the way around the greenhouse. And it worked for several years until it didn't work. And when I woke up that morning, I can't explain the sickening feeling, because I put a lot of work into this. And Sheila really enjoyed it, and it was just a nice thing to have. But after the fact, and I, you know, thinking about, man, I could have done this and I could have done that, and then this diagram on the right side is how I could have done it. Now, there's other means. I could have just put some big blocks, concrete blocks around it or whatever, but I could have made this like kind of permanent and made some concrete. That's what this hatch pattern is. I could have made some concrete, just like one bag of concrete worth like four or six places around the perimeter of this greenhouse, and then anchored it with some anchor bolts into that concrete. And more than likely, it wouldn't have got blown away, okay? Because it wasn't like a tornado wind or anything. It was just, it caught it just right and just up that little valley there and just sent it rolling into a bald mess. So thinking of this diagram, the one over here, this one was correct, all right? This one didn't hold, all right? Didn't hold, but the one over here, it would have held, okay? So thinking of this with our lives, there's a lot of things that in life, we can be like this little greenhouse that got rolled up in a ball, because we're not anchored into something that's more solid than us, all right? We're just anchored into something that's really easy. We just push some little rods in the ground. Whoa, it's done. That was easy. You know, in life, sometimes we can do the same thing. We may think, oh, we just put some little push pins, little rods down, and think, oh, well, that's good enough. But then the true storms of life come along, and it rocks our world, and it can damage us, all right, if we're not anchored to the solid rock, okay? So I want to read a story, a very familiar story in the scriptures, and this is the one about Peter, and they were in a storm, Peter and the disciples, and I want to turn to Matthew, the 14th chapter. And I will start with verse 24. And a familiar story here. Matthew 14. And I'll start reading at verse 24. It says, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Again, sometimes in life, it's not just a little wind, it's a contrary wind, something that's opposing us, the direction we're trying to go, and it's directly opposing us. And it can, as we're fixing to read here, cause us to be bouncing up and down on the waves. And it goes on here, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Okay, so this is where Jesus went to them walking on the water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Oh, could you imagine hearing those words? That would totally change my outlook on the situation. Now, there was still stormy, all right? So the storm hadn't ceased yet. But he said, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And think of this. Peter hadn't said his name yet, but he said, if you know me, basically call my name, call for me to come to you on the water, all right? So he's testing if it truly is Jesus, the master. He said, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And Jesus said, one simple word, he said, come. He didn't have to give any big, long explanation. He just said, come, all right? And then when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. That's quite a miracle there. Think about that. Defying the laws of nature, Jesus is already doing that. Here's this storm and the waves and everything, and Jesus has supreme authority over that, and he's just walking on the water, all right? He knew exactly where the disciples were at. He didn't need any GPS. He didn't need a Go Find Me app on their phones or anything. He knew exactly where the disciples were at. And he came walking to them on the water. And then he told Peter, come. And Peter got up out of the boat and started walking to him on the water. Notice what took place here. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. So let's just be honest with ourselves. I think we've all been in that situation before. We're in a storm of life. Whatever, things that have surprised us, things we didn't plan for, disappointments, all these different things, and the wind is contrary. Everything, it's like trying to oppose us. We're like, what do I do? And then Jesus comes to us. We're like, oh, well, here's Jesus. And he says, well, get out of the boat and come to me. And when we start walking, but then we start looking at the waves. That's what happened here. Peter, it said, when Peter got out of the ship, he saw the wind boisterous and he was afraid. He was looking at the wind that was affecting the waves and the boat and everything around him. So he was looking at everything but Jesus, okay? But notice what he said. He cried saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. So he calmed the storm. And then when they were in the ship, they came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. So this was quite an incident here. Several miracles, I guess you could say. First of all, Jesus walking on the water. Then Peter walking on the water, and then the immediate calm that Jesus gave over the sea. And to think of it this way, that Peter, when he called out to Jesus, Jesus was the anchor. He was the rock. And if you could just imagine here, I'm just demonstrating with my own hands that Jesus reached out, and Jesus and Peter reached up, and they grasped hands like this, and he pulled him up out of the water, and then they just walked back into the boat. But think about this. If Peter hadn't have called out for him, I'm just hypothetically here, he could have just sank. Now, obviously, Jesus could have still went down, you know, whatever, and brought him back up. But the point was, Peter called out to Jesus, and he reached out to him, okay? That's the emphasis I want us to focus on this morning. He started to sink when he was looking at the waves, and I don't know how far Peter sank in the water. But ultimately, Jesus reached down and he pulled him up and they were all safe. Well, thinking of this, you know, this was one of many incidents that Peter was experiencing some personal interactions and experiences with Jesus. This was one of many. But I believe this was another stepping stone, if you could say it, another level of growth that Peter was experiencing with Jesus here. Because none of the other disciples did this, but Peter did. He said, if that be you, Lord, I want to get out and walk to you on this water. And the Lord's like, come on. And he did. He walked on the water. How many other men, women, have walked on the water like that? Just Jesus and Peter, as far as I know. But to think of this, what faith he had to have, but yet his faith faltered, all right? And then he started to sink, but then his faith was inspired again, and he called out to Jesus, and Jesus saved him. So you could say it this way, that he proved he was still human, all right? He wasn't Jesus, but he was still human. His faith faltered, but he reached out to the solid rock, all right? And he took full grasp and he gripped the arm of Jesus and they pulled him up onto the boat, all right? So I want to go on to some more scriptures here. I'm going to go a couple more chapters to the 16th chapter of Matthew. And like I said, Peter, through various experiences, was building his life upon the solid rock. And this is one experience where he proved that, that he was interested in a personal relationship with Jesus. So here in the 16th chapter, here we have the Jesus is talking to the disciples here, and he was asking them. We'll start with verse 13, Matthew 16 and 13. It says, "And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' And they said, 'Some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets.' And he saith unto them, 'But whom say ye that I am? Who do you say I am?'" Okay? And notice what Peter says here, verse 16. "And Simon Peter answered and said, 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" Okay? So think about this. Peter had been seen, and previous to this, Jesus just fed the multitudes with the fishes and the loaves, all right? So there were many miracles that Jesus had been performing. And just two chapters prior to this, he came walking to them on the water, and they all proclaimed that this is the Son of God. So Peter had many experiences and interactions with Jesus where he was witnessing the power of God, of what Jesus was able to do. And here again, he's saying, you know, all these other people, they're saying, "Oh, you could be all these different prophets." And Jesus said, "Who do you say I am?" All right. And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And notice what Jesus said in return to him. He said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." You know, this was a personal revelation that Peter had got multiple times, not just one time, but multiple times through the Spirit. God had been revealing to Peter that this is the Son of God. This is the Messiah. This is Jesus Christ, the one that was prophesied of, the one that's going to deliver us, to save us from our sins. He didn't understand the full plan of salvation yet, but yet he knew this was the one, all right? And he was willing to follow Jesus through his 3 years of ministry there. And he experienced some of these miracles firsthand, okay? And so he was building upon that foundation, okay? And notice what Jesus says here in verse 18. "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter," all right? So, and Peter also means Petra, or rock, all right? So, and Peter was a solid person himself. But Jesus wasn't just focusing on Peter. He's saying, "Thou art Peter," and he says, "Then upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So what he's saying here is, he's not building the church upon Peter, all right? He's building it upon the rock. It's the personal revelation that the Spirit has given to Peter, that Peter acknowledged that Jesus was the Son of God. And that's so Jesus is the rock. He's the foundation of the church, all right? The scripture says he's the chief cornerstone, all right? So he is the rock. He's the piece of concrete down here that Peter had anchored his life into, okay? And that made Peter solid as a rock as well, because he's anchored to Christ, the rock, all right? Christ, the solid rock. So to think of this, this was a personal revelation. And Jesus said it here. He said, "Flesh and blood hath not revealed it to thee, but by my Father which is in heaven." So Peter had a personal relationship here. He'd had some personal experiences of how God had performed miracles, how God had visited him, how God had done all these special things for him. And Peter was convinced, without a shadow of a doubt, that this was the Son of God. This was Jesus Christ. Do you realize, for you and I this morning, I can't tell you that Jesus is your Lord. You can't tell me that Jesus is my Lord. But we can for ourselves say that I understand who Jesus is, and he is my Lord and Savior, you see? Because I have a personal experience and relationship with him. He walks with me and he talks with me and he delivers me. I grip onto him, the solid rock, and he pulls me up out of the angry waves. And he sets my feet upon a dry place here in the boat where I'm saved, I'm rescued. I have a personal experience where God has been doing that for me. Peter had that, and folks, we can too. And that's the foundation of the church, a divine personal revelation that Jesus truly is Lord, that he has all power in heaven and earth. Even death is subject to him, okay, with the power of the resurrection that he has. So to think of this, again, the storms of life can come, and we can be anchored in something that's just easily readily available, just push it down in the dirt, no big deal. And it seems like life goes on really easy for a while. And then here comes some severe storm, some surprises, some disappointments, things that rock our world. Folks, if we're not anchored in the solid rock, if we're not gripping the solid rock, we could be damaged or destroyed. All right? Because Satan is seeking to destroy us, as the scriptures say. But Jesus, I am so thankful that Jesus still knows where we are at. Just like he knew where Peter and the disciples were at on that boat. He knew the exact coordinates in the sea. Jesus knows our exact coordinates too. If we find ourselves caught in a storm, whatever type of storm it is, Jesus knows where we're at. And he's going to come walking by to see if we reach out to him to grip the solid rock just like Peter did. But it's up to us. We have the choice in that. Okay, so thinking of this, how do we get the personal revelation that Peter had? Well, first of all, you know, Peter, he was taking a risk when he stepped out of that boat into the water, wasn't he? Talk about a leap of faith, literal leap of faith. But I mean, Jesus was right there. And so he's like, I know everything. He just fed the multitude with the loaves and the fish. He multiplied. He just fed them. And I've seen all the other miracles he's done. So I know this is, he's walking on the water himself. So if he can walk on the water, surely I can, as long as I'm right here by him. And so sure enough, he stepped out. But again, it was a risk, all right? But you know, sometimes in our lives, Satan wants us to be squashed with fear and be intimidated that, oh, this is too hard, or this is rare, or this has never been done before, and I can't really, can I really trust the Lord for this, and can I go to him for this, and can I? Yes, you can. You can do all the above, all right? He is trustworthy. He's proved himself or, just like he'd already done for Peter and the disciples there. He proved that he's the master of the sea, of all things. Yes, he is. So we can step out on faith, and yes, it may seem like a risk or may seem foolish to others around us, but like, you know what? God did this for me and God did that, so I know he can do this for me as well, okay? Well, here's another thing. When Peter, like I said, when he got his eyes off of Jesus and onto the waves, he began to sink. But he didn't stop at that. He wasn't too proud to call out for help. Notice that. He didn't go, oh, well, I failed. I'm just going to sink. He didn't do that. He's like, you know what? I'm sinking. Here's the master of the sea right here. Well, oh, let me look to him. And he cried out for help. Very simple. You know, folks, the plan of salvation and the way of salvation is so simple. Children can get a hold of it. But the devil wants to complicate it, make it look so difficult and challenging, so confusing and all these things. No, folks, it's very simple. All we have to do is look up to the master of the sea and say, Lord, help me, and grip the solid rock, and he'll help you through the storms of life. We can check mark and say, that works. I'm anchored to the solid rock. These storms aren't going to roll me up in a ball and crash into a fence somewhere and be destroyed. No, we can be saved by the master of the sea. But we got to follow the plan, just like what Peter did. He wasn't too proud and go, oh, well, no, you know, I'm just going to sink. You know, I made a mistake. And no, he's like, oh, Lord, help me. And he reached up and Jesus said, yes, I'll help you, Peter, and pulled him back up into the boat. Thank the Lord. And here's another thing added to that grip on the solid rock. You know, no doubt, I know Peter was a strong man and Jesus was strong too. But these were waves and Peter was in the water. And when Peter grasped hold of Jesus, I could imagine Peter just reached up with both hands and grabbed onto him and he hung on. All right. So that's what I want to emphasize here for a little bit. The waves were maybe trying to pull him apart. But I know Peter was a strong man and he was a determined man. And he continued to hang on. That firm fisherman's grip, if you could imagine that. Folks, we have to do the same thing. We have to hold on to Jesus. Take a firm grip on that solid rock and say, I'm not leaving until you bless me, Lord. Until you deliver me. Until you help me out of the situation, out of the storm, whatever it is. I'm going to hang on literally for dear life. And folks, we can do that because we're not going to wear out the solid rock. Just like those pieces of concrete I could have put in the ground, that would be no struggle for that concrete. It's not going to put a wear on it. But these little stakes that I put in the ground, you know what I noticed would happen? When we would get some windstorms and just over time, I go back out and little stakes, I noticed the ground was starting to wallow around it. So you know what I would do? I just picked the stake up and I'd scoot over a little bit and push it down the ground again. It was quick and easy, but it didn't really fix the problem. It was a temporary fix. Folks, it takes effort. And that's what I emphasize again, this part about building this relationship with the Lord, with the solid rock. It takes time and effort to do that. It's not something quick and easy. I just push a little rod, you know, a little stake in the ground over here and over there, and I just go on my merry way. Do you realize that in life, personal relationships, they also take work? You know that. If you're married, if you have children, whatever the case is, if you want to have a true friend, a true relationship with someone, it takes time. It takes effort. It takes a lot of things. Aware of things, being aware of yourself, who you are, and how they're responding and what they're saying or doing and responding. You learn each other and you study each other. But you want it to work. You want this relationship to work. Folks, it's the same way with our relationship with God, with this solid rock. If you're going to hang on to this and you want it to be meaningful, it's going to take some time and effort to be diligent to do things. Say, I'm going to spend time with you because you mean something to me. I'm not just going to do it out of obligation. Oh, well, I have to do this and I have to do that. No, I get to. I have the privilege to come before the throne of God wherever I'm at in life, literally. I could be at home fixing to go to sleep or just waking up, or I could be driving down the road, or I could be working on the job. I could be anywhere. I could be shopping in town. And I can go to the throne of God and continue to build that relationship and that interaction with Him and say, Lord, I need you right now. I've been surprised by something. There's something that's really disappointed me over here. There's something that's dashed my hopes and dreams in this situation over here. And I don't know what to do. And the waves are crashing in around me. Folks, all we have to do is reach up like Peter and say, Lord, save me. And grip the solid rock. That's exactly what Peter did. Thank the Lord. So, thinking of Jesus being the sure foundation that the church was built upon, do you realize when Jesus was on the cross, he had the whole weight of the world on him? That's why he cried and he wept and he prayed in the garden before the crucifixion. He said sweat was as drops of blood. The agony, the pain, not just the physical that he was experiencing and fixing to experience on the cross, but the weight of the sins. But what I'm here to say here this morning, folks, is he withstood it all. He was that solid rock. He could handle all the weight of your sins, of my sins, of the sins of the world, all of our disappointments, all of our griefs, all the our burdens that we shared. He told us to call upon him and to cast our burdens upon him. He meant that, folks. Those weren't just vain, little empty words. He meant it. He wants us to cast all our cares upon him because he can handle it. He's much stronger than these blocks of concrete up here that I could have anchored into. Folks, he can withstand the weight of the world. Everything we can bring to him. We could all bring him to everything at once. And he can still handle it. Because he is the rock, the solid. He is the foundation of the church that will stand the test of time. Thank the Lord. Now I want to read some scriptures and Psalms in conclusion here. In Psalm 16. And this is just a reminder. Psalmist David wrote this. He experienced a lot of storms in his life as well. But he got a hold of some things. Psalm 16, I'll start with verse 7. It says, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. You know, we all have night seasons. It's related to those storms of life I was talking about. But you know, night doesn't last forever. Joy cometh in the morning. And this is what the scriptures will conclude with here in a little bit. Let's read on. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Thank the Lord. We don't have to be moved. Why? How is that possible? Because Jesus is right here. He's at my right hand. And notice it says, I have set the Lord always before me. In other words, just like Peter, when he's looking at the waves, he was starting to sink. But when he looked to Jesus, he set him before him. That's when he had hope, folks. That's when he could focus, lock eyes with Jesus, say, Lord, save me. And he gripped the solid rock, all right? Therefore, he was not moved in his night season in that storm, all right? Verse 9. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Some of these are prophecies of Jesus and his resurrection. But notice verse 11, the last one. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Thank the Lord. What beautiful promises that God has given us. And think about this. When Peter says, thou wilt shew me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy. You know when Peter finally got up into that boat with Jesus, you know he was full of joy. His life had been preserved. But it was because he reached out to Jesus, and he gripped the solid rock, but he rejoiced in that. And then Jesus didn't want him to share all those details yet, but eventually they were able to. But to think of the joy that was welling up within Peter, thinking, wow, if he did this for me, he'll do this for someone else too. And to think of us, folks, that we reflect upon the times the Lord has saved and rescued us, and we rejoice in that, and we're glad in that. But at the same time, we see our loved ones and others that are hurting and being battered by the storms of life. We can rejoice that that same master of the sea is available to them too. That he can be the solid rock for them. And that they would be open to him. That they would, as the scripture says, I have set the Lord always before me. Oh, that they would just open their eyes to Jesus and look to him. Remember the scripture says that he is the author and finisher of our faith. And to think of what that means, folks, that if Jesus starts something, a work in us, he can also finish that work in us to where it's pleasing to him. It's pleasing to God where he'll say when we enter, when it comes to judgment day, he says, enter thou in the faithful child of God, that you've been faithful in the things that I asked you to do and the things that I called you to do. And you responded to me and you looked to me and you called for me and I delivered you. So enter thou into this haven of rest, into heaven. Oh, thank the Lord that we can have that assurance, that we can live such a life, that we look to the Lord. He can save us, set our feet upon a solid rock, all right, and establish our ways. And it says here, that will shew me the path of life. He'll direct us. He'll show us the way, all right. He'll direct us and show us which way to go. And his presence is fullness of joy. Jesus is in the boat with them, so he was full of joy in that. And at their right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. And those pleasures include having Jesus at our right hand all the time. Through the Spirit, that we can enjoy the presence of God in the Spirit. We can continue to cultivate that relationship and continue to receive these personal revelations of what God is doing in our lives. He wants to finish that work in us. Yes, he wants to start it, but he also wants to finish it, all right? That means we have to pay attention. We have to look to him. And we have to anchor our souls and grip the solid rock, all right? Yes, that's going to take some time. That's going to take some effort. But in the end, it's going to be worth it, right? So, in conclusion, it's our own personal responsibilities. It was Peter's responsibility to reach out to Jesus and grip the solid rock. The disciples couldn't do it for him. It was for himself. He's the one that was having that interaction with Jesus. So it is with our lives with Jesus ourselves. We're the ones, if we need deliverance out of the stormy sea, in the night season, whatever it is we're encountering, it's up to us to reach up to Jesus, lock eyes on him, and grip the solid rock. And not just grip the solid rock, but hang on to that for dear life. You pray for me that I would do the same. Amen.